In Telluride, the man needs no introduction, because he is royalty in this little corner of our blue marble. He is, of course, Sam Bush, King of Telluride. This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, delighted to be speaking once again with Sam, who is celebrating his 50th, that's golden, anniversary with the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. That means Sam should be everywhere you want to be all weekend long, but for sure, he is the closer Saturday night, June 22nd. Sam, thank you so much for joining me again.
Glad to, and looking forward to this year at To Hail You Ride.
You bet. So, at the 40th anniversary of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, you said a lot of things to me. One of them, I'll just paraphrase a few. I remember J.B. and Helen Mattioti, John Picker Herndon, Kuster McAllister, and Fred Shellman, the festival's organizers at the time. They were as excited as little kids about their event and about us. They had first seen Newgrass Revival at the National Picking Contest in Winfield, Kansas. It became their dream to have our band at their event. Since then, I've grown up with the Bluegrass Festival. I've watched it grow and change as I've grown and changed. But one thing remains the same. In Telluride, the crowd is still up for anything. So, Sam, what more might you add 11 years later, well, on the occasion of your 50th anniversary with Bluegrass?
Well, one, how thankful I am to A, still be here, and B, amazed of that, that I've, even though I wasn't always in my own band or in Newgrass Revival, that I hadn't missed a year due to whatever, schedules or, sickness a couple of times. But it's, 11 years later, I can honestly, first we must give credit to Planet Bluegrass for keeping mm-hmm. this festival going. No one has any idea of what they go through to make people being the audience, comfortable with coming to a festival in a box canyon. So they're credit to them for that. And but in 11 years after the 40th Telluride, again, testament to Planet Bluegrass of the incredible variety that we're going to hear this year of all these different acts and watching some of them, come up through the ranks of playing at the festival over the years. And some come to mind, like Big Richard, for instance. I love Big Richard. I love their band. Danny Paisley's coming this year. It's always great to hear Chris Thiele open the festival. I love Chris. And then there's like people, three that I'm thinking of that I've jammed a lot with over the years, so like the String Dusters, the infamous String Dusters, Elephant Revival, and of course my old buddy's Leftover Salmon. So it's going to be as a fan, to hear them play, to hear Bela and Edgar Meyer and Zakir Hussain. It's such an amazing show of music they do. And, seen that one at Telluride before. And so, A.J. Lee's coming. I mean, it's just going to be, and then to close it out with Lyle and his large band on Sunday, that's going to be great. Love hearing Lyle and Mighty Poplar. I mean, there's just but one thing that kind of occurs as I speak of some of these people, for instance, like Molly Tuttle will be there and Mighty Poplar and so the festival and people on Telluride Bluegrass, we've all influenced each other, and so it's pretty interesting to see the progression of players and how they come along over the years and. What great musicianship is represented at Telluride.
If I asked most people on the list of acts you just named whether you've influenced one another, I would bet they would say no, all the influence is coming from Sam. So specifically, can you say what you may have gleaned from some of the acts that you just mentioned so generously, what you have gleaned, learned, any comments about them with regard to sort of symbiosis?
what I may have learned from them.
Yeah, you were saying we've all learned from one another.
Well, we do. I mean, well, for instance, like, I tend to think of, you know, my mandolin buddies, right? And so right off the bat, you know, Christy Lee and Sierra Hull. I mean, okay, maybe David Grisman and I were influences on them in their early formation. But now it's the point where I can listen to Sierra, watch and listen to Sierra and Chris, for instance, and learn things. And so, you know, if you keep your mind open, just remember that, you know, they're coming along at a very progressive rate. And I just want to join the party, just like when I got to produce Chris Thiele's second album when he was a teenager. You know, I knew that by the time he made another one that he wouldn't need anyone else, right? He'd be doing it himself. And so in that way, it's wonderful to watch the progression. I mean, heck, to see how Leftover Salmon has gone through the year and watch their progression. And, of course, Drew Emmett's one of my favorite mandolin players. And same way, you know, to watch Drew's progression as a guitarist, fiddler, and mandolin player.
Great. Thank you for that. For those who might have been living under a rock, would you please share a bit of your backstory? So describe young Sam's path from Bowling Green, Kentucky, to Roots and Telluride royalty.
Well, you got 60 years, ready?
Well,
I mean, of course, I grew up on a tobacco cattle, you know, farm outside Bowling Green, Kentucky. My parents were lovers of music as farmers, so my mom played the guitar, my dad played the fiddle and a little bit of mandolin. And so music was encouraged around our households, and my two older sisters, Clara and Janet, had already started singing together, and they were doing duet versions of Peter, Paul, and Mary songs in the 60s. So I started playing mandolin about age 11, and within a year, I was playing with my sisters. And then that led to when I started playing fiddle at age 13, being in my first bluegrass band called the Grayson County Boys, and which my mother's from Grayson County, Kentucky. And but, you know, I was always the youngest, by far youngest person in the bluegrass band. And then, but in the meantime, in high school, I would love to play rock and roll with my friends and learn to play guitar and bass in rock bands. And then I'd be the oldest guy in the band, in the rock bands, the only one old enough to drive yet. And then, but, you know, then I'd go back to bluegrass, and, you know, many of the people were my dad's age that I would play with. And that led to me, when I got out of high school in 1970, moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and started playing in the band The Bluegrass Alliance. And after a little over a year in the Bluegrass Alliance, we had a parting of the ways with the fiddle player. And basically, four out of five guys quit the Bluegrass Alliance, and we started Newgrass Revival. And so, really, we started that band in late 71, and I was, you know, happily in the band for 18 years. The last 9 years, the lineup would have been John Cowan, Pat Flynn, me, and of course, Bela Fleck. And so, at any rate, did that until 1990. And of course we first came to Telluride in 1975. And so really it's very fortunate that I've gotten to be at all these festivals, because in 1990 I joined up in Emmy Lou Harris's band she named it the Nash Ramblers. And we were kind of an acoustic version of her country rock style band. So we were kind of an acoustic country band. People had called us bluegrass because of the instrumentation, but to me that's not accurate. And but it was a really joyful noise I got to be part of for 5 years playing with it really helped me, because when the Newgrass Revival stopped, I was suffering from I was just burnt out. I'd always, you know, after 18 years of beating it out and beating it on the road as we had done, and we worked really hard, and so it was, you know, it was a great situation to be in with Emmy, that I could just be in her band and not make decisions. And my biggest decision was which T-shirt to wear. And she was she's a wonderful band leader and a very generous person, and a very forgiving person with each other on stage. I learned more about that from her, and definitely helped increase my vocal range of singing with her. And then after that band broke up and stopped playing in 95, I guess. Actually, sort of went on the road with Bela and the Flecktones for about a year, and I got to be the fourth wheel. They were a trio at that point, which is Bela, Victor, and Future Man. And then, getting to play with Bela, it got me back into improvised instrumental music again after being in a country vocal band for 5 years with Emmy Lou. So really the combination of playing with Emmy Lou and getting back with Bela and the Flecktones and improvising again, I realized I was ready to start making my own records and do this and you know, sing lead and play instrumentals, and I'm still getting to do it. So it was probably about 1990, I don't know when we actually got the band up and running, but 96 or 7, and it's a joyful noise for me to still get to play in my own band. So really that's, and you know, with the variety and everything, I'm very fortunate that I still get to play with, you know, different people in, you know, recording sessions and what have you. And then I don't even know how many years that we've actually been doing what we now call the Telluride House Band. So that's part of the thrill. That's part of the thrill too. We just got through with rehearsals yesterday, or we had two days of rehearsal for the house band, which is for us getting all of us getting the same schedule to be in the same room, even though we all live in Nashville. It's really hard to do, and because we all, you know, work in different areas, and catching us all. And so, at any rate, so that's a joyful noise that I'm fortunate to get to be part of, too. But really, just looking down, for instance, this year's lineup at the festival, it's just like there's a lot of close pals I have, and some hopefully I'll be closer pals with that I might not know very well yet.
Okay. So I'm going to pick up a thread that you dropped in telling a bit of your history. And thank you for condensing 60 years into a few minutes. So, obviously, you're widely credited as being a major musical innovator, and in that context, the father of Newgrass. For those outside the know, would you say what Newgrass is all about and how the subgenre came about, and then compare and contrast that to the house band, the sound of the house band?
Yeah, well, the term Newgrass, now it's actually a generic term, right? As far as what I would define as what we called Newgrass, well, this all came from us just, you know, at the time when we started our band Newgrass Revival. A lot of people were using plays on the word bluegrass somehow or something within their within their band name, and but Newgrass Revival seemed like an appropriate thing for us in that. Okay, for me, I mean, it's flattering if I'm called the father of Newgrass and everything, but I was influenced by people in the '60s who already had deviated from, you know, the traditions that Bill Munro, the Stanley Brothers, and say Jimmy Martin would have made, you know, as kind of a Flatt and Scruggs too, that, you know, that's kind of the template of what you do. And so we were trying, so, but I was influenced in the '60s, and I really paid a lot of attention as a kid to the bands that had already, you know, taken a different path from that older bluegrass. And those bands were like the Osborne Brothers, Jim and Jesse, both of them on the Grand Ole Opry, the Country Gentlemen from Washington, D.C., and, of course, the Dillards, who many people know as the Darlin family on Andy Griffith's show. And but I was influenced by the progressive bluegrassers at the time. So when we started our band, Newgrass Revival, we really were kind of saying that we're holding up, we're reviving this new grass that people had already started playing. And so, you know, and then a short answer for what new grass would be, I would say it's playing contemporary music on traditional bluegrass instruments. In other words, using the thanks to Jerry Douglas, now the sixth instrument in bluegrass, the dobro, but at any rate, using traditional bluegrass style instruments to, you know, do your own tunes, write your own tunes, make a direction, and you know, feel free to be influenced by other types of music. So in my case, you know, it's blues, rock and roll, definitely reggae, Bob Marley's reggae, and so in that way, I think that's an accurate description by calling it contemporary music, meaning, you know, new music that we write and arrange. And when we first started our New Grass Revival band, we would take, you know, rock songs and make them bluegrass. And then over the years started writing our own tunes and getting more well-versed in that. So really the difference between, you know, a new grass style band per se and the Telluride house band is that in the house band, even though we all definitely play progressive styles of music in our own bands and what we do for a living. Mm-hmm. When we're in the house band, it's like we feel free to relax and play bluegrass maybe a little more than we would have, right, than we do normally. And so it's interesting to me that bluegrass is our common ground there. Even with Edgar Meyer, one of the premier classical musicians in the world, Edgar has become well versed in bluegrass and could just fall mm-hmm. right into it. You know, if you didn't know you were listening to Edgar Meyer, the classical bass player, you'd just be enjoying, you know, good bluegrass bass being played on those songs. So really, in the house band, we feel free to play more old bluegrass and do original tunes by the band members as well.
Thank you for that comprehensive and very clear answer. A final question, which is a variation on the question above. Can you step back and take a long view on yourself and reflect out loud on the stylistic innovations you've made that have changed the course of bluegrass and roots music alike?
That one's kind of tough, Susan. In other words, it's hard for me to, you know, sit back and think of myself as an influencer or you know, accomplishments. I mean, in the world of mandolin, for instance, when I hit the scene playing for a living on festivals and in public in 1970, mm-hmm. I think I had brought my fiddle playing instincts into mandolin playing, and so I was you know playing. When I do the fiddle tunes and what have you, play them more like a fiddler than the common way those were played on the mandolin back then. So perhaps I brought have influenced mandolin players to think a little bit more fiddle style on the mandolin. But one of the things I'm proud of is that over the years, and it's just kind of been there's no time when I could say I started doing this or you know. But my rhythm playing, the rhythm chopping that I do, which of course comes from Bill Monroe, but then when I heard Bob Marley playing his rhythm guitar in reggae, I also figured that sounds almost like a mandolin player in bluegrass, and so I've been influenced in my rhythm playing and chopping, and I hear. And I won't credit myself in that. Again, David Grisman and I, you know, I think that we, both of us have come together and helped and influenced maybe mandolin players in their rhythm chopping. That the mandolin has become more of a rhythm instrument than ever in bluegrass. And so I take great pride when I hear people on the radio doing a chop a certain way, because if I had anything to do with that, then that's great. But really, okay. it came from Bill Monroe.
Thank you for that. That was very humble, very humble answer indeed, Sam. But also very clear and comprehensive. I really appreciate that and appreciate your time. This has been Susan Diebrock, Telluride Inside and Out. I have been honored to once again be speaking with Sam Bush, notably the King of Telluride, returning to the stage of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, very specifically on Saturday night, June 22nd, but probably everywhere you want to be. Sam, thanks again for your time.
Susan, thanks once again. We've talked many times over the years, and always appreciate your help.
You're more than welcome.
We're both looking forward to it.
Yes. See you soon, Sam.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.